In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We consider Genesis chapter 38, verse 6. And Judah took a woman for Er, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. We live in an age where the Lord has made his second coming. It's not something we expect will still happen sometime in the future. It is here even now. We live in an age of the heavenly arcana, a time when the Lord, who is described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, has prevailed to conquer evil and to open the book that had been sealed with seven seals, the Holy Scriptures, where its true meaning has been hidden from view for many centuries. So we read Genesis chapter 37 a few weeks back, and we were reminded of this most delightful story. Joseph, this youthful figure, specially loved by his father, given a coat of many colors. This young man was given dreams, divine dreams, dreams that revealed that someday he would become a great ruler, and that even his family would be subject to him. He told his dreams to his brothers, and they hated him. They hated him so much that they conspired to put him to death. But Reuben secretly planned to rescue his brother Joseph and return him to his father. Judah had a plan to sell Joseph into Egypt. But neither of them were able to succeed with their plans. Others came by and took Joseph out of the pit and sold him into slavery, into the house of Potiphar, the Egyptian. And that's where Genesis 37 ends. So it was not enough for Judah to be among the brothers who plotted for Joseph's death. But Genesis 38 begins by saying, "It came to pass in this time, and Judah went down from his brethren." And that was not the right direction to go. It showed a further departure from what is orderly, from what is of the church, of a true church. When we read the story of Joseph, we're very much inspired with a sense of the Lord's providence, because we know that the Lord had a purpose for sending Joseph to Egypt, that he might there prepare to rescue his family from the great famine that was going to happen. And when we read about Joseph, we not only see that this is the heavenly Joseph, this is a picture of the Lord himself. For he came into the world that he might save us from our sins. He prepared the way that we might return back to him. The story of Joseph is delightful on many accounts. Children love to hear the story. We love to imagine how the Lord has great things in store for us, that the Lord has a special purpose if only we paid attention to the dreams he gives us. So why in the middle of this story, even just as it's getting started, we have this chapter which seems to be a diversion? It takes us off into a place where perhaps we'd rather not go. And we might often tend to skip this chapter because of the ugly things that are contained within it. So Judah took a daughter of the Canaanites and married her, and she had three sons. The firstborn, Er, was wicked before God. What his wickedness was, we will never know, as it is not declared to us. But the Lord saw that he was killed. So Onan, the second brother, was told by Judah to go and perform the duty of a brother's, the brother of a widow, of a widowed son. So this is what Onan was beginning to do, but he did not fulfill that obligation. He saw that the child who would be raised up would not be his own child, and that he did not want to raise up seed to his brother. So the Lord also killed him. So left was Shelah, the youngest, who was not ready yet to be married. And so Judah told Tamar to go to her father's house and to wait there till Shelah was grown. And it is evident from the story and from the internal sense here that Judah really had no intention of giving Shelah to this woman, that she might have seed raised up to be her own. And so Tamar had an opportunity to bear a child from Judah, her father-in-law. And we can see that these conjunctions are unlawful, although the duty of the brother, of a husband's brother, was one that was commanded in the law of Moses. And it was commanded in the law of Moses to represent that there would be a continuation of the church, even though the original brother had died. Now, this story contains many secret things. Heavenly arcana. And it explains in many ways how to understand the whole nature of the church that was raised up from Judah. The church that we call the Jewish church was a representative of a church. It was not a genuine church. It was a church that had many rituals, all of which signified heavenly and spiritual things, and ultimately the Lord himself. But let's turn to the Arcana Celestia and what it says in summary of this chapter. The subject treated of in this chapter, in the internal sense, is the Jewish church and the genuine church. The Jewish church is described by Judah and the genuine church by Tamar. So what we have here is this choice or this contrast between what is a genuine church and what is not a genuine church. A church that on the one hand has a potential for being internal and spiritual, and the other that is merely external. So here, when we're reading Genesis 37, 39, 40, and the other chapters that describe the Joseph story, we might be led to enjoy the church for external reasons, even to enjoy the word itself because of the delight the word can give us. It's as though the Lord is putting this chapter here before us that we might come to an awareness of something that is unpleasant, but we need to see. It's as though the scriptures take us by the shoulders and look us in the eye and challenge us. Is this church that you are a part of, that you want to be a living part of, is this something that's just going to be on the outside, or is this something that's going to be on the inside? Are we going to go through the motions of church, or are we going to be part of the church itself? So we read also in the Arcana Celestia, for this reason also Judah, in the representative sense, is the celestial man, and in the universal sense, the Lord's celestial kingdom. So here's this very interesting contrast between the things that are in the literal sense that show that this church that was established by the Lord through Judah and his descendants was a church that was going to play the part of a genuine church. And yet, even as it serves that use, the Lord was, as it were, maintaining a place in the world, a womb, as it were, for his own coming to take place in the world. The Lord was born of this tribe of Judah. The Lord's ancestors were marked from Judah, even through one of these twins, Perez. And there's a reason the Lord was born of this tribe, and that is because this tribe represented not only the Lord himself as the Lion of the tribe of Judah and all its beauty and potential, but because within that race, as part of the human race, were contained evils of every kind. The Lord came to fight the hells, and he did so through the human he took on from Mary. So what is said of the Jewish church being a merely external church is something that took place again during the Christian church. It's incredible that the Lord himself instituted a church, but he was rejected. And so there's many comparisons made in the heavenly doctrine to the states of the Jewish church and the states of the Christian church that followed. What is the state of the new church? What is the state of our church? Will we be content with just going through the motions of knowing the doctrine, of being able to speak of the church, being content with external things of ritual and social life? Or will we see that there's something deeper? The Lord himself, he is the heavenly Joseph. We read in the heavenly doctrine, it is better to know how the case really is, because then they are in the truth, and if in the truth, they are also in the light of heaven. For the light of heaven is the truth itself, which is from the divine of the Lord. And thus they would neither claim good for themselves, nor would evil adhere to them. The angels are in this truth, not only by knowledge, but also by perception. And so what is the case as it really is? The case is that we do incline to evils of every kind. We are often satisfied for going through the motions of kindness, but not of shunning evils as sins against the Lord. And then we come to the part of the story about the twins that are born. How delightful the focus changes to something of innocence and tenderness. And then the question of which was born first. And this is from the Heavenly Doctrine, the Arcana 49:28. This signifies that good was actually prior, is evident from the representation of Zerah, who here is the brother, as being good, for it is he who opened the womb, thus who was the firstborn, and upon whose hand was the double dyed, which, as shown above, is good. That by his brother's coming out afterward is signified that good is actually prior, is because during man's regeneration, good does not appear, because it conceals itself in the interior man and only flows into truth through affection according to the degrees of conjunction of truth with it. But when truth has been conjoined with good, as when man has been regenerated, good manifests itself, for then man acts from good and regards truths as being from good, because he is then more studious of life than of doctrine. So may we be inspired by this story to consider with frankness what is the nature of our own evils and what stands in the way. Do we want so much to keep things to ourselves? We're not wanting to see what is good passed on to others. Do we so much hold on to the truths and the doctrines of the church, thinking that what's important is being right? Well, it's important to have the truth and to do what's right, to love the doctrine, and to have the church affect us on the inside. So Tamar had this important role to play. She represented the internal church, the goodness that is potential. May we embrace that potential. And in closing, we'll just consider this passage from Luke. Chapter 4, the Lord was in the synagogue one time, and there was given to him the scroll of Isaiah the prophet. And having unrolled the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the sake of which he has anointed me to announce the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach forgiveness to the captives, and to the blind, the receiving of sight, to send away with forgiveness those who are wounded, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And having closed the book, he gave it back to the officer and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were gazing at him. And he began to say to them, "Today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be all glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.